Hi there, folks. I'm Emily.
And I'm Mill.
And I have been working on something which Elt doesn't know about, but I'm about to present it to her. So please, if you are at home, whatever surface you are closest to, begin a drum roll. It's an origami bird.
I know she's making it sound like, oh, this is the first time I ever made an origami bird before, and it is her first origami bird, but she's also already made an origami park for me. So I guess the bird is supposed to go in the park. I just have to go put it in my special place where I keep your origami stuff. So,
oh, good. Yeah, the origami bird bath is coming next.
Yeah. Okay, good. Yeah. So you just put it on the stack of books that are part of the barrier that divide our sides of the basement. You just stick it. It's so, oh, wow. Look at it. It's so nice and so colorful.
And it's so, your favorite because it's pink.
Yeah. And pink's my favorite color. So you got that. Yeah. And I'm going to go put it with all the, in the special origami place.
Okay. I do want to mention our book wall, and I don't know why we didn't think of it before, but we talk about so many books, and it used to be a hassle getting them from one side of the basement to the other, but now they're just in the middle, and it's a wall of books, and if there's anything in the world that is better than the wall of books, I don't know what it is.
Yeah, I would say like a house of books, but we don't want the books to get ruined from like the weather, no. So that's why they have to be inside.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's because they're not glued together and stuff like that, we can still take and put back from it. Yeah, I don't know if there's anything better than a wall of books. I guess a library, yeah. But like, everyone's got like, a library.
Exactly, but who has a wall of books?
Yeah, us. So there. And speaking of books and walls that can fall, which we didn't speak about, but there's our good segues. And Humpty Dumpty sat in a wall before he had a great fall. Today we're going to talk about Before I Fall, which by Lauren Oliver, and that is, we're talking about the book and the film, which actually, you know, not to freak the purists out or anything, but the adaptation was a pretty, it was a pretty, I don't want to say, yes, faithful adaptation. I know there's a lot that doesn't transfer from book to film, you know, certain things have to be tweaked and changed a little bit, but seeing the adaptation, it wasn't like, oh, but you missed X. It didn't feel like that. It felt like, okay, that's a pretty good representation of the book. So we're just going to clump them both in here. Just to say for, we got violence is a 1, language is a 4, romance is a 3. Violence maybe should be a little more because they die in a car accident. I guess.
Yeah, but that's like the only real violence.
Yeah, and it's not graphic. So I guess, yeah. Language is a 4 because they're saying all the words, so
all the words.
And romance is a 3 because aside from any kissing that's going on, there's a lot of emphasis on the main character, Samantha, sleeping with her boyfriend. Like that's basically how it starts. It's like, well, besides her waking up. So short story is she's a senior in high school and she dies one night at coming home from a party one night. Her friend's driving and they get into an accident. And she dies. And basically what happens is she relives the same day over and over again. So sort of like a Groundhog Day kind of feel, except she's actually dead. So she relives the same day over and over again. And then when she finally tunes into the fact that she's reliving the same day, again, kind of like with a Groundhog Day feel, like, okay, today I'm going to be super bad, you know, because it doesn't matter. I'm just going to wake up again tomorrow and it's going to reset. And then she finally decides, you know, it's not about doing all the crazy stuff. If I'm going to live one more day, I'm going to make that the best day that I can make it. So honestly, I'm actually kind of torn on this book because on the one side, you do have a lot of the contemporary teen stuff, which a lot of times I don't really like and I'm not into. And again, there's so much with sleeping with the boyfriend and the boyfriend is so perfect and the friends aren't that nice. They're like a clique, but you kind of like, she kind of comes around to like, hey, these are my people and I do love my friends because they're my friends and we grew up, you know, we're each other's people. But at the same time, there is something interesting of, there are going to be spoilers. Spoilers. There is an interesting thing of the last thing that she does is end up saving someone's life. Which, PSO is kind of always something that I didn't get. Like, if it's set in stone that she's dying and it should be set in stone that the other person died in the accident also, how come she could save the other person's life but her own life can't be altered to then be saved? Like, there's no rules in the universe for that. So, but I guess it's just because that's the story, is that her life is going to be over. And maybe we don't know if the other girl lived or not, even though she did get hit by, like, a big car. So we assume that it's over. But that is, like, the last thing that she does is to save that girl's life. And it's very important because that's the girl who's been bullied. So that gives that girl a moment of, like, you know, maybe all the bullying or whatever, like, I am worth it. So there is, like, a... there within... everything, there is a good message there, but there is also all the other stuff going on.
I agree with you. I didn't read the book. I only saw the movie. And I was also torn. It felt a little bit more meaningful than some of the other contemporary teen movies and books we've talked about. It also fit. Now, after seeing several of these movies and reading several of these books, I'm noticing certain patterns. Like, so when she comes in, the first... full day, the first, like, real day. So she comes into class and the teacher is talking about Sisyphus. Yeah. And then one of her friends at lunch talks about the butterfly effect, essentially. And it's so interesting how in all of these books and movies, there's some teacher who brings up a concept that's supposed to be the theme, right? Like, right, in Chemical right. Hearts, it was about, you know, how everything is biology. And then in... it was the one where they had to travel around and look at different...
oh, All the Bright Places, yeah.
All the Bright Places. And that was, you know, an English or a class assignment. So it's just interesting how it's, like, sort of clever, but it's also not, because now every book does it and it's a little heavy-handed. Like, yeah. Oh, here's this school thought and now it's your life.
Yeah.
But I did think that this one went a little bit... like, it shows her friends, and she's part of the clique, and they're all these popular girls, and they're mean, and they're the mean girls. But it shows, first of all, you eventually learn that they all have things that they're dealing with. And right. For some reason, this story in particular, I don't know why, it hit me that, oh, but, like, they're super mean, and they shouldn't be acting that way. But it hit me, you know what, they're in high school, and... unfortunately, people act that way when they're, you know, 14, 17. When they're teenagers, because they're stupid and they're still figuring out their place in the world, and being popular for some of them is all that they have. But when she died, I realized, oh, it's too bad, because she obviously doesn't have an opportunity in real life to fix things. But the other girls, people shouldn't bully. Obviously, they torment that girl needlessly and it's stupid. But one of the girls that they kind of... I mean, too, there's this one lesbian girl. She says something during one of the repeat days. She says, this is just a blip. And I thought, not just for the kids who unfortunately have it really rough, is it a blip? Because hopefully they'll go on and they'll meet real friends and people who don't tease them. But it's also a blip, hopefully, for the kids who are mean, because hopefully they'll grow up and they'll you know, think about how they acted. I mean, we all did things in high school, whether it was to other people or just to ourselves, that we regret, but we grow up, because high school is a very difficult time, but it's not everything. And I think this book, sort of in a way better, maybe because it wasn't about suicide, but it was about an unavoidable, maybe not unavoidable, but, you know, a different kind of death, that it got across the message that high school can be rough and you will probably do things to yourself or others that are really awful, but that doesn't have to be your whole life. Right. You can become a better person.
Right. Yes, so that really, is a very good...
I like that.
Yeah, yeah. Because she does. In the end, she's like... especially her one best friend. I don't know if it's Lacey or Elodie, one of them, is like a really... she's the one who, like, starts all the bullying with Juliet, and...
yeah,
Lacey. She comes around to say, like, yeah, like, I see that we're not great people, but we're friends. Like, but we're... again, we're each other's people. It's kind of what she comes around to. Now, there are some weird stuff... okay, besides for... romance is only a 3, but that's only because it didn't have any... it didn't actually cross over to our 4, but it doesn't mean that there wasn't some weird stuff going on. So, for example, because she wakes up and it's Valentine's Day, so she says she's going to sleep with her boyfriend because it's Valentine's Day.
Wait, by the way, I know it seems like it's Valentine's Day, but I just want to clarify something. First of all, they keep on calling it Cupid Day. I think one character calls it Valentine's Day, and everyone else calls it Cupid Day. And when you go to the IMDb... it says February 12th. February 14th is Valentine's Day. So either it's in another country, but I'm pretty sure it's not in another country. Or Cupid Day. Like, I thought Cupid Day at first was like just a cute religious way of saying it. Right. So is it a not religious thing? And then I, just for fun, I typed in, what is Cupid Day? And the first hit online was, hey, I'm reading this book before I fall. And they keep on talking about Cupid Day. What is it? So I don't know what Cupid Day is. It seems like Valentine's Day. But if anyone has any further information, please let us know. Anyway, continue.
We use Secure PO Box to send the information to. Let's also,
or by carrier pigeon.
Well, that's like, that was, yeah, that's, we should look that up, because Valentine's Day is like, that's after a saint, and Cupid Day is after like a mercurial god. So I don't know if that has anything to do with it. Anyways. No, so like they're giving it, right, you could send roses. It's kind of like the, you know, you could send people roses because you know, so she gets the rose, like that's the most beautiful rose and the most perfect rose. And it's like the note on it is like, I see you. And you're like, that's not romantic. That's creepy. That's on the guy Kent. There's this guy Kent who's always had like, I guess, a major crush on her. And he keeps telling her like, oh, you're not like them. Like, you're so much nicer. You're so much better, blah, whatever. Like, how do you know that? You guys haven't had a conversation. Why are you so sure she's not like her friends? These are her friends. And he's like convinced that like, no, you're better than them. You're nicer than them. Why? And like sending someone a rose, it's like, I see you. And it's supposed to be like, oh, I see the interview. No, that is so creepy. It's not romantic. It isn't. And she does eventually come around like, oh, my boyfriend, no, she dumps the boyfriend. Like, I have to give Kent like the perfect kiss or whatever. But like, why? Because he said, I see you. When did I see you? She didn't.
Yeah.
When I read the note, have we seen her like, oh, that she really is nice. You just say, oh, at the end, because she saves Juliet or whatever. But like, no, that's only because she realizes that she's dying and I better make this last day a day.
Right. And if you are a nice person, but you only hang around with bad people, even if you don't do anything not nice, you're sort of, you're bad by association. Like, if you're a nice person, you're not going to spend time with super mean people. I also thought the note was weird, but I didn't think it was creepy, yes, but I thought it was more like, I know the real you. I know you're just being fake.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm going to reveal you for the witch that you are type of thing. I didn't realize it was a, I see past it all to the real you. I was very confused by that note also.
Yeah, it's just, come on, people. Come on.
That was actually, for me, the biggest thing. So I, if there hadn't been the replacement romance, I think this movie might have been even more, I would have liked it even more, because I do think she learned a lot. I think there were good messages. Also, because so many, I don't know what's up with all these depressing teenager things. And I know being a teenager is hard and it can be depressing, but man, it's all really dark. But there was a lot of good to this movie. But then the fact that, and it was good for her to ditch her boyfriend, because her boyfriend, so when they do finally have sex in one of the repeat days, and you don't see much of it, which is why we keep it at a 3 for our ratings. But when it finally happens, in the middle of it, he says, I love you. There, is that what you wanted me to say? Mm. And she's crying afterwards. And I thought it was really good, because they build up sex. It's like, oh, you're still a virgin. And they're teasing her about it. And then she feels used and she doesn't feel good. And not that, I think it's good, because in the other books we've read, when they finally have sex, it's this, they're finally awake and alive. And it's this culmination of their love. And here she is. And she realizes, oh, you know what? Having sex just to have sex, even if it's someone you really think you like, it's not, like, having sex as a teenager maybe is not the smartest choice, which was what I think we learned. We also, her friend, it's intimated the first time she had sex, she was very drunk, and she doesn't really remember it. So I think this movie does a better job of pointing to, like, if you're a teenager, it's okay to be a virgin. You don't need to have sex, and sex could be really damaging to your psyche. So then she ditches that boyfriend, and good, because he's not a great guy. But she doesn't need to fall in love with this other guy, Kent. Why can't he become a friend or a confidant or a reminder of her old days when she was a different person? But why does it have to be... It's like the romance doesn't feel... And maybe in the book it's built up a little bit more than in the movie. I know the movie's limited on time. But it sort of came out of nowhere.
Yeah, well, because it's the rose. It's like he decides of all days he's going to send her the rose to say, I see you. Like, I don't know. But that's also a good point, because when she does relive her perfect day, because so fine, she does have this like big kiss with Kent moment. But it's not like, it's like what you're saying. It's not like, oh, I'm going to find, like, I'm going to sleep with someone and make it right kind of thing. Like, she realizes that that's not part of the perfect day. The perfect day is being with my friends. It's friends and family, basically, is the perfect day. And, like, I got to do something good today. So that's also good. And then there's also the one day that she's like, okay, the slutty day, basically. And then there's the one teacher that everybody crushes on. And so she, like, makes out with the teacher, which is gross. And, like, oh, I realize that you basically peaked in high school. Da-da. Like, okay, done with him also now. So I'm glad you got over him. I didn't want to have to see that scene at all. But yeah, so that's also, it's like, it's almost, she like eliminates all these, she does eliminate, it's like, instead of like, oh, I'm going to make this negative thing like even more perfect, she does eliminate a lot of the negative stuff when she does figure out what, if this is going to be my last day, this is how I want to live it. I'm just going to laugh. I'm going to laugh with my friends. I'm going to be nice to my sister or my mom is or whatever. Apparently she still has to kiss the boy, but, and then I'm going to reach out to someone, like someone who've always bullied, I'm going to reach out to her. So they're like, I get that we keep saying, like, that's why I'm kind of torn with this one. Cause there is a lot of pearl clutching stuff in it, but it's relatively better than a lot of the other stuff, especially now. Cause this came out a while ago. So it is relatively better than the direction we've been heading in.
Yeah. And it ends a little bit more hopefully, because she can change, which gives an indication that maybe also her friends can change. And she sort of starts to lead them in that direction, because she has these heart to hearts with them and tells them, you know, I love you because you're adventurous, or I love you because you know, you're open to learning new things. I would say the biggest, other than our normal issues, the one other theme that I had a problem with. So she's having this heart to heart with her younger sister, and she asks her sister if she's ever been bullied in school, because of the way she talks, because the girl's 7, but she has a little bit of a lisp, which is pretty normal for a little kid. And the girl says, yeah, sometimes people don't like the way I talk. And Samantha says, well, you know, you can fix that by changing the way you talk. And then I think on a subsequent repeat day, she says, don't change who you are. You're fine just the way you are. And I don't love that message for people, because the rest of the movie is about she herself, Samantha, not being fine the way she is. And the point is that there are things to change. And I understand that a physical, you know, a lisp is a different thing to change than bad character. But I don't like the message of you are perfect the way you are, because if Samantha had continued thinking she was perfect the way she was and she hadn't died in the car crash, she would have just continued to be a mean girl.
Yeah.
So it's like the whole point of the movie is almost lost in that one little scene. No, you're not perfect the way you are, but it's okay that you're not perfect the way you are, because none of us is perfect. We were created by God, so we are perfect in the sense that he created us, you know, physically. People are going to be, we're going to look different, but our character is something we should always be working on. And
That message comes up a lot, not just in this book, but as a general idea. You see that message a lot in songs and this and that, like a bit about being, you know, beautiful the way you are and perfect the way you are and things like that. And it is a mixed message, because on the one hand, you're trying to tell someone don't change just because society or somebody else tells you that you don't fit the mold. But at the same time, people should not think I'm okay just being like this and not without realizing or aiming for the potential of being more than what you are. So you might say, like, so the one you might say, oh, just because you have like a weird quirk that you like to make origami birds, but just because you have weird quirks or something, it's true. You don't have to change. You can make your origami. You don't have to like not make origami because people make fun of you. I don't know why I thought of origami. It just popped into my head. But again, there is a thing that we do need to encourage people to don't be satisfied with yourself. Not because you're weird or this, but because you have potential to be more than you are.
Yes.
That's what...
Exactly.
So that's what... Yeah, that gets a mixed message. So yeah, so we're kind of mixed on this book. But it doesn't change the fact that there were pearls being clutched.
Yes. But if you had to choose between this and some of the other teen movies we've talked about, this one was definitely a better story. And especially in terms of movie, this was the best so far. In terms of book, All the Bright Places was also a pretty good book, but I could recommend this one to someone.
It's all pretty relative. Comfortably. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But it's all, but relatively. Yeah.
Right. So I don't know if you guys heard it, but I totally heard Elt say origami a bunch of times, which I think means she wants to learn origami. Cause what I'm picturing is like an origami Central Park, right? Cause I just have the little park right now, but we could do the whole thing and benches and people and like the policemen on horses. Oh my goodness. I'm so excited. Okay. I have so much origami paper. What are you? Pink, do you want some sparkles? You know what? I'll just pick for you and you can tell me later, okay?
Yeah. So while she goes gets that, I'm going to go fortify the wall of books.
Thanks so much for listening.
Catch you next time.
Oh My Word podcast is brought to you by the Pearl Clutching Basement Dwellers at Oh My Word. Follow us on Instagram for updates at Oh My Word Podcast or like and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. For full episode notes and detail, visit eltenenbaum.com. Music is by Tim Burke. Sound is by Gabriel Yaffe. See you next time.